on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the YokeCast podcast as we get you ready for the Summit League Basketball Tournament. Basketball fans, players, coaches, everywhere. You love this time of year because we are in the postseason and officially ready for March Madness. So the action already underway in Sioux Falls. And of course, the Coyotes will play on Friday, both men and women, as we get set to crown a champion in Sioux Falls and send to the NCAA tournament. Congrats out to the track and field teams. The indoor track and field teams went to the Summit League Championships last weekend and both got second place. Both also earned a point in the Interstate Series presented by First Interstate Bank. And I don't know if you've checked on that in a hot minute, but South Dakota right now in control. The Coyotes need one more point to lock up the Interstate Series trophy between South Dakota and South Dakota State. Coyotes currently have 9.5 points. South Dakota State has 5.5, and there are 5 points left to get. It's the softball series in March. Then in April, we'll have the Women's Golf Championships, whoever finishes higher. In May, it'll be the Men's Golf Championships, and then in track and field, outdoor track and field in May as well, the Summit League Championships in Fargo. So that's how you get points. There's only 5 left. There could be more. Obviously, they'll add some points for academics, but for individual one-on-one points, there's 5 left in the series. So we won't have another one here for a couple of weeks. And that softball series in Vermillion, if the Yotes can get at least 2 of those, they'll claim the point and secure the Interstate Series traveling trophy. All right, this week we caught up with a couple of basketball players, one from each side as they get ready for the Summit League tournament. Josie Hill of women's basketball, Ethan Kaiser of men's basketball. Tremendous message from Josie Hill about, you know, continuing to educate and inspire the native youth. So we caught up with her this week to talk about her experience with that, the plans for the future, and her year at South Dakota. Josie, the season coming quickly to a close as far as regular season. Now it's postseason tournament time, and never know how many games are left when you get into that postseason tournament time. What's the feeling as a basketball player, as an athlete, when you get to this time of year and you know that there might be one more game and there might be multiple games left in your season?
I'm not gonna lie, at first, like, when you think about it, it's like a little nerve-wracking and stuff, because the unknown is like scary at sometimes, but like also there's also the other part of like preparation and stuff, and like knowing when you, if you come in there well prepared and all that, like, you're ready to go, so it calms the nerves and stuff. Really helps.
How would you describe this season? Your team has won a lot of games, and I know there's a couple that you'd love to have back, whatever, but how would you just describe what this year's been?
Honestly, I would say like a roller coaster, but like not like an up and down one, like one that like goes up, drops a little, but goes up again. Just cause like we had like a phenomenal season. Like we was off to like a great start and stuff. Like we had the best start since something. I forgot, like, the whatever. But honestly, it's been really good. Like just coming in here, having 20 plus game wins and stuff. And also this group of girls, like they're really fun and stuff, and they just make you wanna play even harder. So it's been really fun. It's sad it's coming to like a close, but like just looking back at like what we've done this year has just been really fun.
I think it's the best start in Division I program history, which is pretty cool.
And yeah,
you're obviously from the state out in Rapid City. You spent a few seasons at Chicago State and then get the opportunity to play here. What's that mean to you to be, you know, even though it's 1 year, to play in a South Dakota uniform, make history with this group here in the home state, opposite ends of the state, but the home state nonetheless?
Yeah, it's been one of the best things like in my college career, because like coming home and also just being able to like have my family come to games and stuff, my tribe being only 3 hours away, having some youth come to my games and all that, like I feel like one of the biggest like things I try to do in my life is like have an impact on like the youth on my res and stuff, just because like the adversity they face and stuff. So just knowing like where I come from and like knowing like if they see me out there, knowing like it gives them inspiration to do that.
You talk about your tribe and being inspiring.
Yeah.
Before we had the Native American Heritage Game, we had you on the Cairo Report, and we talked about what that meant to you at that time.
Yeah.
Then you went through the game. Describe the feeling of seeing that, the fans in attendance, seeing all of the Native, songs and dances and everything yeah. going on around it. How special was that?
It was so special because being able to, be recognized at this level, at Division One level, because I think it's, less than, 1% of Native athletes make up Division One sports and stuff, or play Division One sports. So, just having a building full of Natives and stuff and, I don't know, it just meant a lot. And every time, whenever I stepped on the court, all them fans cheering and stuff, it made me really happy. It made me feel good, knowing I'm, doing something greater than myself.
You talked about being inspiring and we hear certain things on the challenges maybe for some youth versus other youth and whatnot. And
yeah.
you get to understand it a little bit more than maybe other people.
Yeah.
How would you explain to somebody the challenges that some of the Native youth go through that you want to be the inspiration to show them there is a way for them to get where you're at?
I feel like it means a great deal to me. It's a big responsibility, but I feel like it's not pressure because when you know you're doing something greater than yourself or when you have a why, it's easy to push you, easy to motivate you. So just knowing I have people look up to me and stuff helps me do better, want to do better and lock in more.
When did you know that basketball was something you could take to the next level and be in a college athlete and go get educated using the sport?
So I started basketball late. I started eighth grade. So I started basketball late. So then I was just playing whatever. And then I get to high school and then freshman, sophomore year, I'm still kind of uncoordinated, this and that. But then I get to AU and then I get to Bertram coming and helping me develop and stuff. And then I'm really seeing my skill set and stuff. And I just become more confident and stuff. And I'm really I could take this to the next level. So yeah.
You look at where you're at today and what you've done. You think back to that time when you were starting basketball and in your words, you were uncoordinated. what would you tell yourself back then knowing what you know today?
Just stick through it because at first, I look a deer learning how to walk. So just tell myself to just stick through it and it'll all be worth it.
Has it been worth it?
Yeah, it's been worth it. Because one, I got a free education. And I feel like my family always told me education is power and stuff. So being able to get a degree out of this is the best thing. And also playing the sport I love and meeting the people, the connection. So it's all been worth it.
You get a degree. What do you hope to do next?
I hope to play overseas. That's my goal. But also, whenever basketball is done and stuff, I want to be a sports performance coach and coach kids, in need and stuff. So, yeah.
Have you thought about, reconnecting? You've talked about your tribe and back in Rapid City, areas yeah. like that. Have you thought about, being that inspiration? Maybe not playing basketball at the college level still, but just in a different way?
One, I definitely could see myself doing that and helping youth. I want to either maybe start a nonprofit or something. But also this summer too, I'm doing another camp. So it'll be my third annual camp back on the res. But also I do want to live in a big city, but I'm still also find ways to still give back and stuff, whether that be coming back every year and still putting on these camps and all that.
Where's that drive come from inside of you that wants to put on camps and wants to continue to help others?
That drive comes from my circumstances growing up and stuff, and having I had good people in my corner, and them helping me wanted to also be the type of person to help too, because I know how much it means to someone to have help, to have that person in your corner and stuff. So I want to be that for other people, other kids.
And if you can be that person for other kids, what would be your message to those kids who maybe don't see right now that there's a path to college or to an education, all of that? What's your message to them?
My message to them is just keep sticking through it, keep putting in the work, and when you feel unmotivated, find your why. Like, my why is, like, my family. I want to do better for them, the youth, and overall myself. So find your why, like, let it motivate you, and keep putting in the work, and good things will always come with work and God.
Good things always come, and good things came for USD because you came to this program and spent a year. Even though it's 1 year, what legacy do you hope that you left and these seniors left in this 1 year?
Just impact, like seeing, like, even though it was a whole new group of girls, seeing like what we got done in a year. Like I said, like having a 20 plus game winning column and stuff. So just seeing like whatever time you have, make the most out of it, because good things will come.
You've been with this group for a few months now, And now we've got the conference tournament. We've seen this team compete at the highest level. Why can this team go to Sioux Falls and have success in that tournament?
I believe this team could go to Sioux Falls and have success because I just believe we're special. Like, since the moment we all came in the summer, like, just what everybody brings to the table, like, everyone brings something. Everybody knows their roles. We have great coaches that surround us, help prepare us, and also just the fans, like, the community. Like, everything just feels, like, special, and I feel like we could take that a long way in the tournament.
I know a lot of people are excited to see how the tournament goes. Josie, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way, and good luck in the future. I know you're going to do great things.
Thank you for having me.
That is Josie Hill. She is a senior on the women's basketball team, played her high school basketball at Rapid City Central. She was a Cobbler, and then, of course, spent some time at Chicago State before her final season at the University of South Dakota. I also this week caught up with Ethan Kaiser from men's basketball and talked to him about his transition to USD and the journey the season has been.
Ethan, we reached the end of the regular season and now it's conference tournament time, and you know how everybody gets this time of year. You know, if you're a basketball player, coach, fan, this is the time of year you get excited about. What's the feeling as a player as you get ready for the conference tournament and just kind of, you know, got through this season and now it's on to the next season?
Yeah, so definitely going into this, like, we're all pretty excited, just especially with this group we have. Like, you know how it is, it's been very up and down this whole year, so we're very excited going into this tournament, and I think we can make a pretty good run.
You talk about the ups and downs. I mean, you were included in that. You were dealing with some stuff in the preseason that limited some of your workouts and whatnot, and battling throughout the year. A lot of guys have been battling through a lot of things, and some maybe people don't know as much about. What's that say about a group when you just keep fighting the way this group has?
We're really gritty. Like, we're a pretty hard-nosed team, and like we just trying to get out there and go play. Everybody on this team loves basketball, so they love going out there and playing every single day. So just being a hard-nosed group, really.
How would you describe your season at South Dakota?
Definitely a roller coaster, just because, like, you know, I was playing a five at one point of the season. I never would have guessed I would ever been playing a five in college. So just going from that, and like even last night, both our bigs got in foul trouble, so I had to go out there, play at a five again, and it's been a roller coaster this whole year.
How do you try to adapt to a role like that? I mean, everybody can see your game is built around perimeter shooting more times than not. How do you try to adapt to a different role and knowing you're going to be the mismatch, but you just got to be the tougher guy inside?
It's definitely hard, but it helped growing up with two older brothers. They used to be down on me when we played together. So I was used to that physicality, and then also just how we rotated on defense and double teamed. I think that made a huge impact, like when we played South Dakota State. So just having the other guys around me, like being ready for that and coming in double and helping on that mismatch.
And talk about your brothers. One of them is right here with you, and he's seen a little bit of time this year and gotten out there, but certainly has helped out a ton in practice. What has that been like this year to spend another season with him?
It's a great feeling. I'm so excited that I got to come here, and just being with him has just been huge for me in this last these past 2 years. He was with me at my old school and this year. So just seeing his growth throughout the years has been extremely awesome.
You know, senior day, the final game of the regular season didn't really impact you as much. Obviously, you're not quite there yet, but you walked out onto the court with your brother, and then I'll tell you, probably got a little emotional for people there at the end. He came in and checked you out of the game, and you guys embraced there at the block. Describe that moment.
It's an extremely amazing moment. Like, I played with him in high school, so I was with him during that senior night, and then with him this year, it's a great feeling just to see him go out there and be part of this team and just see all the things he's accomplished.
You've had games this year where, you know, as soon as the ball leaves your hands, we know it's going in the bucket. And obviously, every shooter goes through some ups and downs. Do you know early in a game that you're either feeling it either one way or the other?
Yeah, I normally can tell in warm-ups just how my shot's feeling, and I try to get to that every single time. But especially that last game when I first saw the first one go in, and then the next two kept on going in. So I had a great feeling that game.
How much does it energize you? I mean, you hit some of those shots and maybe two within a couple of minutes, and you can feel the energy in the building increase. Describe that feeling on the floor.
It's huge. You can feel the whole momentum in the gym switch, and just like for a basketball player, that's like an amazing feeling. And so once you get the energy back on your side, like you just got to keep on rolling through it.
When you decided to make a change, why South Dakota? Why did you feel like this would be a good place for you?
So when I went into the portal, my main things were just player development and then the coaching staff. Like I really needed that family atmosphere, like I did in high school and my AU team. And so they recruited me out of high school, so I already had that relationship with them. And then once I came on a visit and I've been talking to all the coaches, just that family atmosphere was really huge with them. So I loved that. And then the player development side too. So like I can get in the gym anytime I want with any of the coaches. And even our head coach, he told me, is like if they told me no, that he'd get in there and work with me. So just having that is just a huge, huge thing.
Obviously, you're focused on the conference tournament right now, but you keep talking about player development, and you're always trying to develop, right? What's an area that you kind of have pinpointed maybe to continue your development into next season?
The main thing this year was defense. Like the beginning of the year, I used to struggle a little bit guarding the ball, and I've worked on that quite a bit. And then another thing is just ball handling. So I'm pretty big wing, so I can put it on the floor and just make different things happen.
Go back before college, basketball. How did it become a part of your life, and when did you know it was the sport that would take you on to the next level?
It's always been part of my life. I started playing basketball when I was 4 years old, so I just always looked up to my two older brothers, and they always played basketball. So it's always been part of my life, and it didn't really click with me until about eighth grade when I was a lot bigger than everybody, and like we had our local college team was there watching me play in eighth grade. And so like once that kind of clicked, it's like, oh, I can really make something out of this.
How do you try to, as a young player, you know, appreciate that people are watching you at a young age, but still understand it's a long ways to go?
It's definitely just awesome just seeing all the people come out and watch me play, and just seeing all the hype around my name, especially because I got long hair. So it brings a lot of attention, and just keep on fighting every single day, slowly and slowly, just to keep on getting to where I am.
Hair Jordan became a thing, especially when you were in high school. If anybody Googles your name, they'll find something about Hair Jordan. How did that start, and how did you embrace it?
It started, Ball is Life came to one of my high school games, and they made a mixtape, and they like put out what my nickname should be. And like I guess the biggest one was Hair Jordan. And so they kind of just ran with that. And then throughout the whole year, like people were coming and making mixtapes and just saying Hair Jordan. And I kind of just kept on running with it, and it became a pretty big name.
Why the long hair? Your brother doesn't have long hair. Why is it a fit for you?
So my dad's got really long hair. He's got long hair, long beard, and my dad's my hero. So I grew out the hair when I was young for him. And then actually my two older brothers, they used to have long hair, but they ended up cutting it in high school, and I guess I was the only one that kept it.
You're keeping on with it, and it means you got to wear those headbands, and they got a budget for those different colors of headbands. Do you like having those things on? Is it just kind of, you know, part of it now?
It's kind of just been part of it. I've had long hair since, I think, fifth grade, so it's just been always part of my game.
As you develop here through your college seasons and everything, and you look at what's next, is that your goal to keep playing basketball?
Yeah, wherever it is, my goal is to continue playing basketball.
Where do you want to go with that?
Hopefully to the NBA. That's everybody's, that's every college player's dream, is to make it there. But, you know, not everybody can make it there. It's very few percentage. So definitely that or overseas.
If you, you know, you go through that, and if it doesn't work out, or at some point, you know, everybody steps away from sports. Like, it's just going to happen eventually. What's your backup plan? What are you going to school for?
I'm going to school for accounting, and me and my brothers are going to try to start up a business, open up a sports complex with a bunch of gyms. And so my oldest brother went into sales, and then Caleb that's here, he's a strength coach, wants to be a strength coach, so he can run classes through that. And then we can just start up and run tournaments and kind of always be around basketball in some way.
Is the goal for that to be back at home? Like, have you always wanted to go back to the home area?
Yeah, we were trying to think in somewhere in Peoria to start that up so I can keep my big name and bring kind of the youth into it and run different camps and stuff.
Yeah, it'd be like the Hair Jordan camp.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you be, you know, you guys have gone through a season that people couldn't even make up with the amount of injuries, and some of the guys obviously have come back and some have not. It's required a crazy amount of adaptation throughout the course of the season. What would be your message to, you know, somebody younger going through adversity with a team like this to keep pressing on? Let's be honest, at one point the fourth seed in the conference tournament seemed like a far-fetched dream, right? But you guys kept doing it and you kept finding ways. What would be your message to a group that's going through adversity to just keep fighting and find your way to the best spot possible?
Definitely just stick together throughout the thick and thin. Just always work together and keep fighting for each other. I think this group's done a really good job of just kind of like the next man up, like always being ready. Like, we've had guys that were not playing as many minutes or got hurt and came back and weren't playing as many minutes, but just having that mindset, the next man up and always being ready is huge for something like this when you're going through a lot of different adversity.
We know playing for each other is going to be huge in the conference tournament. What has to go well for your team to find success and continue this storybook run?
I think just how we've been playing lately. We've been playing really for each other, making, getting other people open and trying to get a lot more assists, just trying to get other people the ball and just sharing a lot more.
All right, appreciate it very much. Good luck in the conference tournament.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That is Ethan Kaiser. He is a redshirt sophomore from Metamora, Illinois, and, of course, transferred to South Dakota from South Alabama. So hopefully he continues to grow with Yotes. We'll see, you know, when he's hot, man, he can shoot it from about anywhere on the floor. Excited to see how he continues to grow. Before we wrap things up this week, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. It's a little bit of a lighter week when it comes to the events compared to what we've had the last couple of weekends. But, of course, a lot of the attention will be on the Summit League tournament in Sioux Falls, where the women's team Friday afternoon is set to take on Denver or somewhere around 2:30. If the Coyotes advance from there, they would play the second game on Saturday in the semifinals in the Denny Sanford Premier Center. Men's basketball will take on Omaha 6 o'clock on Friday night. Winner of that game will advance to the semifinals, which would be at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Championships, of course, are on Sunday. The women's championship is at 3 in the afternoon. Men's championship at 8 o'clock at night. If either team reaches it, of course, then you can hear all the action on the Coyote Sports Network. You can also watch this year's tournament on a combination of Midco Sports and CBS Sports Network. Friday softball back in action at the Colorado Classic D1 softball tournament. The Coyotes are scheduled to take on Northern Colorado in Greeley on Friday afternoon in a doubleheader. Then the Coyote softball team will play Colorado State in Fort Collins on Saturday afternoon, and scheduled for one more against Northern Colorado on Sunday before returning home. So they'll be in action there. And then women's tennis in action this weekend, also in Colorado, scheduled to play Friday evening at Air Force, and then on Saturday afternoon against Denver University. So those are coming up. And then women's golf is scheduled to play in California starting on Sunday at the SoCal Spring Invitational. And looking ahead to next week, men's golf will be at Southern Pines in North Carolina for the Donald Ross Collegiate. That is set to get underway on Monday. Will be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Lots of other action going on next week, including the zone diving NCAA zone diving championships in College Station, Texas. Softball scheduled for a home matchup with Mount Marty next Tuesday at Nygaard Field, so check that out as well. So lots of things going on as we get into early part of next week with Coyote Athletics. As always, you can keep up to date with the latest on the schedules at GoYotes.com, news, results, ticket information, and more, all there at GoYotes.com. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. Stay safe. Go Yotes. We'll see you at the Summit League Tournament.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.